A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Oh, come let us adore him, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Brentford make history and so does Lionel Messi. It's Wednesday, 23rd of December. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Vidushin Mahantharaja.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Thank you, Vish. How you doing, boysies?
Very good.
Good?
Very good. Look how happy you are.
Yeah. Why wouldn't I be? I'm staring at the eyes of Vitush Hantaraja and Andy Brassel. Christmas is just moments away and my stocking is full.
That's good to know.
It's quite the image as well. When you wink and say your stocking's full.
That's enough of winks. Now, gentlemen, it's that time of the year where the Premier League has sort of stopped for a couple of days. How dare it, quite frankly. But we did have some Carabao Cup action, Andy. Were you full to the brim with Carabao, Andy?
Always. Always.
It's kind of mulled Carabao this time of year, isn't it?
Does such a thing exist?
Is that kind of like the Red Bull that they sell in Thailand and other parts of Southeast Asia, where it's not actually fizzy?
Mm.
It's sort of still and comes in a medicine bottle and is significantly more potent because it has lots of dodgy ingredients in it.
Hang on, you hear people saying, oh, I went to like a full moon or a half moon party in Thailand, they put all sorts in the Red Bull, and it's just like, no, you're an idiot.
Well, no, you just like read the ingredients on the side of the bottle.
Sorry.
contains 0.01% strychnine, for example.
Yeah.
Just Marcus's indignation at the idea that someone went to a foreign country and a full moon party and wasn't spiked with amphetamines. No, you weren't. No. It's good, honest. Local sand bucket.
How dare you?
Look,
we've all had a drop of Mountain Dew in our time, is what I'm saying. Tampico for our Latin American brothers and sisters. Anyway, gentlemen, Manchester City, they put Arsenal to the sword, didn't they, Vish? You were there.
I was.
You were there. I mean, it wasn't too surprising, was it?
No, but I think your sigh there summed it up perfectly, because I went in there and I thought, right, Manchester City are going to win, but but, you know,
yeah,
it's a cup competition. Yeah. If you look at the, you know, I think Arsenal's last four wins have come in midweek in the you know, in the Europa League, and you know that way that cup competitions have that kind of distracting effect for teams who are doing badly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you can almost kid yourself into being, you know, a cup team, as, yeah, you know, I suppose, if you look at my club, Manchester United, obviously the PSG games, you can kind of think, well, actually, you know, we're just really good at high-pressured, mm-hmm, you know, high-level football matches.
Well, look at Wigan when they won the FA Cup. They were relegated a week or two after.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it doesn't really kind of translate to anything, you know, anything tangible. But I thought, oh, you know, maybe this could be it. And then Man City scored after 3 minutes. And I'm like, okay, well, it's not. Because even in the way that Arsenal equalised, you know, there was that little bit where they kind of ramped it back up. And then, yeah, City turned it on just a little bit louder in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, Lacazette scored, which is the only consolation, really.
It's a nice goal as well. Beautifully constructed and finished.
That was a Lacazette header, wasn't it? That's what he's really good at, manipulating himself in the box.
Absolutely right. But then, of course, the goalkeeper, Runnison, didn't have the best of evenings, which is a shame, Andy. I mean, the pundits were saying, oh, why didn't they put Leno in goal? And you just feel for the young keeper who made a good save, I think 1-1. And then that goes in, you think, oh dear.
I mean, you'd like to say that Mahrez goal could happen to anyone. Unfortunately, it happened to him, didn't it? I mean, I think it's just...
Pat Bonner said it could happen to anyone.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's...
It was just like an all Pat Bonner. It was like one of those, wasn't it?
Yeah, World Cup 94.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's it, because if... It's just about confirmation bias, really, isn't it? The idea that Arsenal are going in a certain direction, and one of the symptoms, not the causes, but the symptoms of that, is the fact that they sold for a very decent amount of money backup stroke number one goalkeeper, who a lot of Arsenal fans thought, rightly or wrongly, should be number one, and replaced him with a guy who couldn't get in the Dijon team, who their previous sporting director, Peggy Luyendula, said, we're going to let him go because he deserves to be a number one keeper somewhere.
So that's the who was it, Dijon, sorry?
Peggy Luyendula said that the sporting director said that he deserves to be the number one goalkeeper somewhere.
At so a lesser club that... than Dijon, that's obviously massively implied.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which is absolutely. You would think Arsenal were a step above.
And also, well, he's not going to be number one keeper there. I think it's more he received this offer that he never expected from a club like Arsenal. So, yeah, maybe being a number two and living in London and getting paid a load of wedge is not that bad.
Was it the Seth Johnson complex?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why do they want to talk to me? Oh, sure. Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah,
I'm not here as a plumber.
Is that interesting? True, Seth Johnson's story, when him and his agent went in and he was offered, you know, they were expecting, I don't know, just to pluck a figure, something like sort of 10 grand a week they were hoping for. And Peter Ridsdale sat down and went, right, well, we're going to offer you 17 grand a week. And they were like, 17 grand? And he went, okay, all right, okay, we'll give you 19 grand or something. Is that true or is that apocryphal?
I don't know.
It sounds a bit ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know that it's, you know, true. Certainly aspects of it will be embellished, but it does... fit, doesn't it? And that's the problem. I can see that happening, which is exactly why it was such a shambles at the club at the time.
Yeah. Anyway, Andy, sorry. I mean, it wasn't a good performance from him in goal, of course. But Man City, they just sort of went about their business. I mean, it was a cup quarter final, lest we forget. Man City got a very good pedigree in this competition and they just really had quite a lovely old time.
Yeah, and there's just that level of delight and such that great relationship between Manchester City and the Carabao Cup. I particularly enjoyed the tweet from the Manchester City account after the third goal where it said, VAR wouldn't have given it, but we don't care. You do love to see that from an official account, don't you?
Yeah, you really do. I mean, what did you sort of make of Manchester City's performance, Vish? It was nice to see Phil Foden come on and strut his stuff.
He's one hell of a glider, isn't he?
He is a glider, and we love a glider.
And so there was a point in the second half, quite deep into the second half actually, where he carries a ball from just in front of his box and eventually kind of snakes his way through to, you know, deep on the Arsenal left. And it didn't look like he was going very quickly at all. But Ceballos, who'd played the whole game, it was nowhere near him and he would have been side by side with him at the start of this run. And I just thought, like, I don't think we realised how quick Phil Foden is. And if you looked at a lot of people who write about Manchester City specifically, but also kind of look into the, you know, I suppose the brainier side of the game, one of the things they say when you look at Foden's, you know, obvious gifts is that while there isn't necessarily space in the middle for him right now, he could easily do a very, very good job for a club like Manchester City out wide. And when you see that kind of pace, you're like, oh, okay. And then you see the cross he put in for Laporte's header and the way he just, like, you know, it's a short corner routine, so naturally, like, Arsenal were closing him down and he just managed to find enough space.
Just sort of wafted it in. I think Foden is one of those players who he's come along in the right era. in the 90s, where would you put him in a 4-4-2?
You know,
you see what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's one of those players with and when you say out wide, again, years ago, a player like that out wide?
Yeah.
Really? Where do you sort of, in the middle, you know, and that's, I think that's why it's...
It's a good point, actually, because I think you look at, like, the Premier League, and I'm sure I've mentioned this before, but post-Modric and post-David Silva, actually, now it's okay to not be 6'2" and built like a brick outhouse and play in the centre of a Premier League midfield. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference. But I think the interesting thing with Foden and that point that...
Well, Danny Murphy did it for Fulham as well.
That point that Vish made about the pace that he has, the sort of low-key pace that he has. I mean, it's the same...
it's a nice way of putting it, low-key pace.
It's the same with Kevin De Bruyne, isn't it? I think what's interesting, the discussion around Foden in recent weeks, is moved on from he's going to replace David Silva to at what point does De Bruyne sort of take the downward slope. Ooh. Maybe it's a bit early for that sort of chat, but with the age that Foden is, maybe he's the eventual successor to De Bruyne rather than to David Silva. And I think it's quite interesting how that conversation has developed.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right to say that glide that he has, that bodes very, very well. Dare I even say that there's a touch of sort of Anders and Iniesta about that sort of movement and so on.
So how many people have we compared him to in this little section? We've had De Bruyne.
Danny Murphy.
Danny Murphy, yeah. Iniesta. Uh-huh. I think before the section, we want to do Zidane and who else do we want to get in there?
Lee Catamon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyone sort of short and...
Jalmina.
Lovely mention for Jalmina.
Nice.
Yeah, there we
probably,
are.
Probably less of a wrong'un, isn't he? But, you know what I thought yesterday, actually, seeing... A young left-footed kid running through the Emirates, and I wonder if there's something to be said here for the era that Foden plays in, given the injuries that this particular player had. But do you remember when Jack Wilshere started?
Wilshere went through my mind, and
I'm not talking about that Barcelona game when Wilshere was someone who was playing cameos in League Cups, and he was primarily someone who played as a number 10, really, for the youth teams. There was all that chat about, God, you know, we're entering a new era of English player here. Mm-hmm. And obviously it didn't quite happen for Wilshere in particular.
I know what you're saying.
Generation, but there was Foden's better place. And, you know, I don't want to belittle Jack Wilshere, but Foden's obviously a much better player at this stage than Wilshere was, and probably...
But one can forget how good Wilshere was and the promise that he had.
But there's been more production from Foden than
there was from Wilshere.
But it goes back again to the pace point, actually, because I think the point where Wilshere hits the wall and stops progressing is where he's been injured enough that he's not fast enough to get away from people who are tackling him anymore. Because when he could do that change of pace and accelerate away from people, that's what made him special. And then you found him in that zone where he still knew what he wanted to do, but he was getting frustrated and he was getting kicked a lot because he wasn't fast enough to burst away from players anymore.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. And he can learn from some of the older heads around him, such as Fernandinho, who knows how to do a little double slap on opponents, of course.
I think that was quite interesting. Jamie Redknapp's sum up of that, where he said how Ceballos should just get up and get on with the game. Mm. He did still get slapped. I think that's really, his reaction's quite irrelevant to that.
Yeah, well, Andy, Manchester City march on again in the Carabao League Cup, as it's called. They are in the semi-final, as are Brentford. And this is quite incredible. Brentford, the first time in their history that they have reached a major semi-final. I love stuff like this, and it's a reminder. We're used to seeing big clubs dominate, obviously. That's why they're big clubs. And then fans of big clubs moaning that they haven't won a trophy in, you know, 3 months or whatever it may be. Or even some other fans who have said, but we haven't won the league for 10 years, 15 years, whatever it may be. And then you get a club like Brentford, who made a lot of waves last season. They've got a good side. They've been doing some great things. They've never been to a semi-final previously, Vish. Some fans of big clubs, they can forget just how spoilt they've been. Hey, Vish.
Look, if you're not winning Champions League titles, not worth it. hasn't been worth it for a while.
Should they be excited about being in the semi-final of the muggy little Carabao Cup? Is that what you're saying?
No, but it's weird to say, isn't it? Because they're in a playoff final, you know, a few months ago.
Yeah, and they lost it. Good reminder.
Oh, look at your little face again.
But you know, they've reinforced that. You'll notice, I'm sure you will have noticed, that two former Wimbledon players in the lineup in Force and Sorensen. So I think that's
that
clearly
is the
made
story.
The difference.
Yeah.
That has made the difference.
Of course, Brentford did beat Fulham in the Carabao Cup on their way. They hammered them 3-0 earlier in the competition.
Yeah, redemption, of course. Yeah.
Well, I mean, but still, though, it's a nice piece of history for the club, of course, you know, in the semi-final.
Yeah. I mean, does it feel a bit hollow without fans? That's the kind of the whole point of, you know, wanting
of cup competition.
But that's wanting to be there.
But that's just where we are, though.
No, of course.
I know what you mean. Yeah. I totally get what you're saying. It did feel a bit of a damp squib at times watching the games, but
that's Newcastle's fault. I think
you could have had that could have been in a full house at Wembley, and that would have been the case. I mean, yeah, Newcastle. I mean. Steve Bruce, he was asked if he had a message for the supporters who don't feel that they are seeing the progress and excitement they want. And Bruce replied, "The excitement, I'm not sure where that comes from."
You see, I saw you looking down for a quote on your notes, Marcus, and having a casual look. I just saw the bit, and you said Steve Bruce says, and I read, "We're delighted to create a new chapter in Brentford's history." that's actually Thomas Frank's quote.
Yeah, you wouldn't put it past old Brucey to say that as well. I mean, Newcastle, he did throw on Andy Carroll as a late sub. He had a volley which went about 15 yards over the bar, which sort of summed it all up, didn't it?
Farewell performance before being snapped up by Big Sam.
Big Sam Allardyce. Oh, hey, what a Christmas present that would be.
It's funny because one of the, I guess for me, regular routines of post-pandemic, and I guess everyone has had their little routines and spent a lot more time indoors, is texting or calling my in-laws to tell them when Newcastle United are on what channel. And I was in the middle of some work, and then like about 2 minutes before this kicked off, I was like, right, oh no, I've forgotten to tell them. So I gave him a ring and said, oh yeah, yeah, they're playing away at Brentford in the cup, in the quarter final. Mm. And now I feel that I've crushed their dreams to the extent, I don't even know if I can look them in the eyes through Zoom or FaceTime on Christmas Day.
Well, it will have to be one of those two, Andy, of course.
It could be house party.
It did bring a truly magical cup run to an end for Newcastle United. They'd beaten Blackburn, Morecambe and Newport on penalties on the way to the quarterfinal. But I mean, but Brentford, though, I mean, this year's competition, they've beaten Southampton, West Brom and Fulham. And now, of course, Newcastle. That is very impressive, Vish, you've got to say. Sitting there with your arms folded, shaking your head. That is very impressive.
I was trying to think of what the term was for a soft ultra. I'm a
sympathiser. Brentford sympathiser?
Yeah, I'm a Brentford apologist. Yeah. very good pizza around there as well.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact that they were able
Famously,
Santa Maria, hit them up. Actually, Santa Maria, if you are listening...
What are you doing?
I'm just trying to point to all the cameras so you can't edit this out in a different way. Uh-huh. I just want free pizza, so...
Okay.
But... I was, I mean, naturally, you know, when you lose a playoff final and you play the way that Brentford do, where you operate the way that Brentford do, where you basically end up being the scouting network for the rest of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So no one needs to really invest or do the analysis. Yeah, if you're going to do it that robustly, people are just going to look over your shoulders and pluck the answers they want. So when they lost Watkins and Benrahma, you thought, okay, well, how can they, you know... Mm-hmm. Two talents like that, and you see the way they've, less so Benrahma because of time, but you see the way they've done in the Premier League. You think, where do you find other players like that to come in? And they just have.
They
left one of them on the bench, Ivan Toney.
He did, yeah. And De Silva's goal was lovely, actually. We should say it's a great finish.
Excellent volley. You know, but I felt really positive about Brentford, as you know, when I was mentioning Sorensen and Force at the beginning of this segment. And now I'm like, they didn't lend us Watkins and Benrahma. I feel like we're ripped off.
Andy, everyone has not even moved on. They were never held back by this, I feel, other than your silly self. gentlemen, let us talk a little bit about European football. Juventus last night lost 3-0 at home to Fiorentina, laugh out loud. They were down to 10 men early on when Cuadrado was sent off. But what about that, Andy? Aaron Ramsey was substituted. He wasn't happy about it either.
He's probably still angry about Cuadrado's tackle. It was an absolute leg breaker on Castrovilli. It's one of those ones where you get a yellow and the referee realises straight away he's going to have to go and have another look, and that's what happened. But Fiorentina were already winning by that point, and they played really, really well.
They were only 1-0 up. I mean,
But like, still, I mean, the way they've played recently, them going and winning anywhere is a story. Going and winning at Juventus, giving Andrea Pirlo his first defeat. And as well, I think we have to underline just how much Fiorentina hate Juventus. They absolutely
Is this one of these little ones that, that maybe
despise them.
That someone like myself might not be aware of.
Yeah, they despise them. And obviously, like, part of that goes back to Roberto Baggio. And then since there, they've continued at a reasonable rate, nicking players from Fiorentina. Obviously, Bernardeschi has been riding the bench for most of the time since they spent a lot of money for him. So for them to go and put one over Juventus, who they absolutely hate. I mean, they celebrated like they won the World Cup final afterwards because it's been such a miserable time for them, because they've been right down the bottom, hovering above the relegation zone. And Franck Ribéry had one of those nights as well.
Indeed.
Which
it's
is
always,
nice.
It's always pleasing to hammer the old lady.
I mean, what are we going to do with that?
What?
Just at this time of year as well.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You'll be in church in 48 hours knowing that you'd have said this on this show.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I need forgiveness. Elsewhere in European football, Lionel Messi scored his 644th goal, breaking Pelé's Santos record. It's the most goals scored by one player at one club in the history of football. Not even Pelé and his statistics can stand up against Lionel Messi.
He can't even lie about being as good as Messi now.
Where's Romario in all this? He's been very quiet.
I was going to say, it's Romario, the guy who scored the goals in his back garden. Why is Pelé getting dragged into this?
Don't drag Pelé into Romario's garden, for crying out loud.
Absolutely.
But that's just, I mean, again, it was a time we thought to ourselves, they're just every week there's records tumbling with Messi and Ronaldo, of course. And then this one happens and you think, oh, right, that is... I thought he'd already got something like that. You know, it'd be absolutely remarkable, though, Vish.
Yeah, it's when we get to this stage, actually, because you always get the numbers and you know the numbers are remarkable because, you know, there's just sheer volume of goals over the course of a season. But then when you start... when he starts getting to this territory where he's having it's like he's in a computer game and he's reached the final boss and he's just toppled him. Pele.
Yes.
That's the player you know. You get into football and it's like you get handed your cards, right? Learn, here are the things you need to learn. We hate them. Pele, Maradona, the other ones. Definitely don't call it soccer over here because for some reason it pisses people off. But yeah, he's just, I mean, that's mad, really. The idea that you can start, you know, you get a career in the game and get to the summit of it.
Oh, what's particularly fun is that where he is at the moment, he looks quite grumpy about it as well. He's quite bored of scoring goals now. And I'm especially bored of scoring goals for the same bloody club. Mm. Although he has got a new playmate to buoy him, young Pedri, 18 years old. Lovely little back heel for the goal. Imagine having the balls at 18 to set up a goal for Messi with a back heel.
That's delightful. It's absolutely delightful.
That's something special. The ones from the Canary Islands, they're special.
They are very special. The Barcelona presidential candidate, Jordi Farah, he wants Messi to stay, and he thinks that getting Neymar back to the club would certainly go some way in doing that and appeasing Messi and hopefully keeping him at the Nou Camp. And he said that he's been talking to Neymar's representatives. His words, not anyone else's. And he said Neymar is very welcome to return to the club if he wishes to come back. But he must ask firstly for forgiveness and withdraw his demands.
What of being paid?
What are his demands? I mean, ask for forgiveness. He went on to say about Neymar, well, and of course, who doesn't want the third best player in the world on their team? That's not going to help, is it?
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like he wants to go for dinner with him, but he wants to be asked so that he doesn't have to pay. Like, yeah. Well, no, it was your idea.
Uh-huh. Well, speaking of dinner, and you mentioned pizza earlier, he said that If he's brought in as president, he will promise free pizza from the best pizza maker in the world.
Are they going to ground share with Brentford? Is that where Barcelona are at the moment?
Brentford are going to be attracting those players now.
That's for members of the club. They've got quite a lot of members. He's got to be careful. He might be out of pocket. He also promised to pay for tattoos of the Barcelona crest to members who back him for presidency. So he's quite the character. He is quite the character.
I imagine he'd be quite good to negotiate with if you're a player, because he clearly doesn't know what the fuck people want. Pizza, tattoos.
Just chuck anything in. Oh, dear me. Right, gentlemen, let's have a quick break and then we'll dip into some emails.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week on Stakhanov.
Over on the Luke and Pete Show, we've been discussing our usual nonsense from Disney princesses to fizzy lagers and a whole load more. Here's a taster of what's been on the show.
For some reason, our little recording system has got this piece of music installed. I think it's incidental music in a sex ed BBC Two 10 a.m. kind of job.
No way!
It is!
It's too groovy! It's too groovy!
Yeah, it's just like, now on BBC Two, sex and your child.
Meanwhile, over on WrestleMe, we've been doing the 12 days of WrestleMemus, which you can find on our Patreon or your favourite podcast player.
That's why also America is, like, leading the world in serial killers, you know, because they have room. They have room
they have
to dismantle, to dismember,
dismantle,
to staff,
yes,
to make marionettes.
Mm-hmm.
Over here, very difficult to be a serial killer.
I would knock into things.
You
I'd get blood everywhere.
But there's always some nosy beak, isn't there? Someone sticking their nose in where it doesn't belong.
All that and more at Stakhanov.
What about some Aston Villa, your old side? Would be hoping for big things this evening.
Yeah, I think like we said earlier, they've won. Oh. And there's a goal.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Right, it's time for some of the emails.
Just email show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vish, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
Well done indeed, everybody. After we found out that Jim had spent many a night thinking about Alireza Yakinbash, you've been telling us on Twitter some of the football players you can't seem to get out of your heads. Charlie Woodall has said Histro Stoichkov. His big head figurine was somehow the highlight of Euro 96 for me. Remember big head figurines, of course. Jason Robson said, here's one for resident Sevilla man Andy Brassel. Benoit Tremoulinas. Not even a Bordeaux or Sevilla fan. That name is just something.
It's nice, isn't it?
It's a lovely name, that is. Aaron Young said, Pierre Van Hooijdonk. This name has haunted my life since I was 16. Very enjoyable indeed. Do get them in. You can tweet us, of course, at Football Ramble.
Yeah, or get on the old retro emails, as Imran Hassan has. Happy holidays. As an American, I was very excited to hear you talking about the shit housing from last week's LAFC Club America CONCACAF Champions League semi-final. One thing you failed to mention that was after Club America manager Miguel Herrera was sent off for pulling LA assistant Ante Razov's hair, he refused to go back to the locker room and instead went to the stands where he used a walkie-talkie, this is in capitals, used a walkie-talkie to continue communicating with his coaching staff. Somehow he was not reprimanded any further for this ridiculous behaviour at the time, but he was fired 2 days later.
That is naughty behaviour, isn't it, Andy?
In the US, we refer to these kinds of antics as being CONCACAFed, which means some combination of suffering from absurd refereeing decisions and ridiculous shithousing from opponents, players or fans. Famous examples include Landon Donovan being shagged.
Another baseball reference.
No. Leave it there and continue reading that sentence. Landon Donovan was shagged by what?
You've no idea how good it gets. Include Landon Donovan being showered in bags of piss and vomit during a World Cup qualifier against Mexico.
So Christmas
at the Azteca. Home fans regularly camping outside the American hotel with fireworks and drums the night before a big match against the US.
That's a classic sort of...
Yeah. And the Panamanian side, Arabe Unido, bringing out a stretcher not one, not two, but eight times after taking an early 1-0 lead against Real Salt Lake City in a CONCACAF Champions League match. In fairness, we have also been known to engage in CONCACAFing from time to time. During qualification for the 2014 World Cup, we chose to play Costa Rica in Denver, Colorado in the middle of a massive snowstorm. The CONCACAF officials inexplicably allowed the game to continue despite the ridiculous conditions, and we won with a first half Clint Dempsey goal. One for you there, Marcus. Mm. Needless to say, the Costa Ricans hold this against us to this day. I'd love to hear about similar stories of shithousery from other people's local teams or countries. So would I. Mm. Thank you so much, Imran.
That's lovely stuff, Imran. Excellent. Andy, any kind of bits of shithousery from other countries that leap to mind? I remember the World Cup, it is quite standard for opposition fans, or if the locals don't like a particular team, they'll be outside their hotel and kind of making noise and all that kind of stuff. I'd have a decoy hotel, I think, if I did that.
Sort of one from the Jack Grealish playbook.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, but that's sometimes why England have sort of stayed out of the towns in recent World Cups.
What, in their 5-star prisons?
In their 5-star in South Africa, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, a quick reminder about our schedule over the festive period. We'll all be back with a preview show for you tomorrow. When I say all, I mean Vish, Andy and I. Then we'll be delivering a delightful gift on Christmas Day in the form of the very, very special Ramble Meets episode. You don't want to miss that. We'll then be releasing 2 festive episodes on Monday and Tuesday next week, where all the gang will get together for some Christmas laughs and a few games. And there's a preview show episode and available on Wednesday, 30th of December, before we round off the year with a bonus best of 2020 episode on New Year's Eve. Should be a right old cracker. Speaking of crackers, Scottish football pundits are having a square go, as I believe they say up there. I say that. I know they do. Or they certainly used to. Martin O'Neill. Now, by the way, the Scottish Cup final has yet to be mentioned properly on this show since it happened on the weekend. And it's a disgrace that Celtic were allowed to win. it was a great shame because Hearts, they're a league below Celtic, thanks to dark forces. They were 2-0, that they came back. In terms of bravery, Vish, they should have been given the cup, shouldn't they?
What, in just for Craig Gordon's apoplexy at being connected? I mean, that is wonderful, that, because every goalkeeper thinks about doing that, or they probably think about going a step further. But he was like, no, I'm just going to throw at you. You've annoyed me.
Edouard Panenka'd him, and then he got up and he went to throw the ball at him. And he did, but he kind of pulled out a little bit as well, thinking, oh, I don't want to get sent off.
You see, the angriest I've ever seen a goalkeeper, I think, is it was in a Champions League qualifier penalty shootout between Udinese and Braga, and one of the Udinese players tried to Panenka Beto, and he caught it. It was easy. He didn't move. He read it, and he went absolutely bonkers. Like, you've had the bloody cheek to try that on me, because this was pre like Sergio Ramos glory years of Panenkaing. Uh-huh. This was about 8 or 9 years ago when Guidolin was still in charge of Udinese. But I've rarely seen a face of rage like that.
Well, was he as angry as Martin O'Neill after the cup final? He was going to town in the punditry ahead of the Scottish Cup final.
The beautifully made up Martin O'Neill.
Oh yes,
he looked like he'd come straight out of Madame Tussauds, didn't he?
He did. Well, he was.
You sound like Martin O'Neill talking about Leonardo. Remember when he lost himself?
Well, he was defending Neil Lennon, who's come in for some heavy criticism for even with some of the Celtic fans as well. They're quite far behind Rangers in the league. Of course, they do have games in hand, and it's still to play for. But not had a great season by their lofty standards, despite having won last season's cup last weekend. He said, you have players who have done nothing in their careers, nothing at all, who have all been basement dwellers as footballers. They're giving their opinion. Their opinion is worthless. Big words from old Martin O'Neill. Charlie Nicholas, who certainly wasn't a basement dweller, has since written a column arguing that Lennon completing the quadruple treble, 12 trophies in a row for Celtic, doesn't put him up there with true Celtic managerial greats like Jock Stein and Brendan Rodgers. Brother Brendy getting a mention. I mean, I think that's fair. I mean, look, Lennon's had an amazing time as Celtic manager, and him coming back into the fray was unlikely, but he's done it, and he got them over the line in the league last season, and they've won another cup there. But Charlie Nickers is saying, no, he's not one of the managerial greats, whereas Chris Sutton replied to that on Twitter simply saying, Charlie is sadly bitter. So that sort of sums up. I mean, I understand it's a phenomenal achievement for Celtic, winning 12 trophies in a row, the quadruple treble. But it is quite a depressing thing for Scottish football, is it not? I mean, another team hasn't won a trophy, domestic trophy, there since 2016.
Yeah, I know, but it's Scottish football, isn't it? That's just...
You're just going to write that whole thing off. The great thing is, though, Vish, for Scottish football, is Rangers and Celtic. Rangers, very surprisingly, are out of the League Cup, so there will be a different name on the trophy. So that's something for us to hold on to, Andy, a little bit of hope there.
Yes, it is. I've been wondering all through this section, I know... Vish is an Edinburgh man. Is he Hearts or Hibs?
Vish is Aberdeen. He likes Aberdeen, I think.
Yeah, I did chemical engineering at university, and there are a lot of people from Aberdeen because that's where you'd go and work as a chemical engineer.
Right.
What are you doing down here then?
Yeah, I was just thinking that. I went to the wrong uni. It's probably exactly why I'm here. I had a fondness for Aberdeen, but I did actually prefer Hibs because Hibs had quite an exciting team when I was there. Derek Riordan, Gary
exciting.
O'Connor, Kevin Thompson, Ivan Sproul.
Keep going. Get somewhere in a minute.
Fine.
Ray Wilkins came out of retirement again, did he?
None of them were as good as Rudy Scatchell.
Now you're talking. Right, Andy, yesterday Mick McCarthy got a lovely mensch on the Football Ramble. Of course, he was having a go at Declan Rice, and then he was talking about banning Roy Keane's name in his house. Andy, around this time you mentioned Mick McCarthy and Ramon Domenech having a very good working relationship.
Yes.
And Big Mick said that he's the best coach he's ever worked under. Well, Big Andy Brassel, you, with your disparaging comments at Ramon Domenech, might have to... Well, I don't know if you're going to eat your words. You might be proved right. Because he might well be back in the game. Ramon Domenech, apparently, is about to take over at Nantes. He last coached at the 2010 World Cup when the entire France squad went on strike. which is quite incredible, really. But it looks like he might be coming back.
Yeah, I mean, it's not Ramon Domenech's fault that he hasn't worked since then. I think he's still been...
I mean, he's partly to blame, I think he's, presumably.
No, I think he's been in that bush in South Africa looking for the fitness coach's stopwatch. You remember that?
That's such a niche reference.
When the players refused to get off the bus when they were on strike, Robert Duverne, who was the fitness coach, he had this discussion with Domenech, and he threw a massive strop, and he threw his stopwatch into the bushes.
Oh, right. And time stopped entirely on the career of Ramon Domenech.
Can I ask Andy? Right, so he, you know, a lot of people would know him for the fact that he would pick via star signs, or certainly that's something that was said of him, and I think he mentioned it a few times.
Yeah, I mean, he said that was exaggerated, but I think you believe stuff like that of a person for a reason.
Yeah, of course, yeah. So,
what was it? What did he say then?
It was about Galas being a Taurus or something
like
that.
Was it Philip Mexis as well, maybe? I can't remember, but he mentioned that he would pick players and he would take into account their star signs, but when he said it's exaggerated... There's something he said. What could he have said? He's obviously taking it into account somewhat. And there lies the problem.
Yes.
It's kind of like, oh, well, people were saying that, you know, he's a Cancerian, therefore I can't possibly pick him. That's exaggerated. But what did you say? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's not like he said, oh, you know, sometimes I like to play 4-4-2 and everyone's like, oh, he's a 4-4-2, he can't play any other position. That would be exaggerated. But that's perfectly fine with regards to that. See, Andy, what do you think?
I guess he's saying it's not the sole basis for me picking players.
I think so.
And for that, we should applaud him. Interestingly, we should also say, second Aberdeen mention, this evening, the former Aberdeen legend Antoine Comboire is also in the mix.
Ooh. Is he really?
For the Nantes job, because as we know from, I think we discussed on the Continent last week, that Laurent Blanc has taken time out from golfing now to not manage Nantes. But go and manage in the Middle East.
Have you read Ramon Domenech's book, Lonely at the Top?
No, I've not.
Oh, okay.
Well, I wonder, because he had some pretty weird views before, imagine what is going through his head right now.
I think it's if indeed he does get the job, we will be very hot on that.
Yes. Taking down all the 5G masks outside the training ground.
Okay, lovely old job, gentlemen. This was like putting on a warm jumper, an old jumper when I saw this story. The Sepp Blatter Museum of Misdemeanors is how we've entitled this. A FIFA statement seen by the Press Association read: following a detailed review of historical facts and circumstances concerning the construction and ongoing operational costs of the FIFA Museum, FIFA has become aware of many serious irregularities regarding this project. My goodness, what a... Ah, yesterday. I remember, for years ago on the show, we used to sort of really stick the boot into FIFA. And I would like to say, ladies and gentlemen, this sounds very self-aggrandising, but bollocks, you know, if you can't blow your own trumpet, who will? We really used to really stick the boot into Sepp Blatter and Jack Warner and João Havelange and all those types at FIFA. But then once it all sort of blew up and it was kind of like, it became a bit boring at FIFA House. Do you see what I mean?
Well, when they started, when they kind of backed up, when it stopped being a joke and started being, actually, no, they're corrupt to the core. There's so many issues.
But when it was all done and it all kind of, they all got sort of bans and this, that and the other and so on.
And Infantino came in and everything was fine.
Well, okay, well, go on then, Andy. What are you going to say
about
this?
This is heritage.
Yeah.
Well, what I particularly enjoy about this statement that you're reading out, following a detailed review of historic facts and circumstances, I mean, that is a great start to a story about, you know, the questions of viability to a museum.
It is.
I mean, that's really good.
Yeah, well, FIFA doesn't actually own the FIFA Museum. The museum was completed in...
Say what?
They don't own it. The museum was completed in 2013, cost $421 million, with $117 million put into renovation and refurbishing the building, which they didn't own. And the decision to lock FIFA into a rental contract for the property until 2045 is also being questioned. Allegations of suspected nepotism. Of course, in September, Blatter's Secretary General and former right-hand man at FIFA, Jerome Valcke, was given a suspended jail sentence over the allocation of World Cup TV rights. And he was very unhappy about this during the trial that he had to sell his yacht since losing his job at FIFA. So there we are. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have more Carabao Cup action, of course. Mourinho is ready. Of course, Tottenham Hotspur are going to Stoke City. Manchester United, of course, in action as well against Everton. But yes, this is a reminder that Neil Warnock was very, very unhappy with the state of the Stoke City away dressing room at the start of the month, saying it was a pigsty and the pigs would have run away if they'd been in there. So Mourinho has received footage of the scene. As David Heitner puts it, one of his many insiders at other clubs has done a bit of sleuthing for him. That is chilling, isn't it? Mourinho with one of his many insiders at other clubs.
What else does he see?
I don't know. Dead people? I don't know.
Do you ever think he's watching us right now?
Quite possibly. If we were a threat in some way, or if he could get something, or he wanted something from us.
I mean, there are four cameras in here.
Yeah.
That is true.
You've looked into every single one. You made a quest for pizza, but in fact, you've just allowed Mourinho to spy on you more easily.
I know, yeah, he knows how vulnerable I am. He knows all my weaknesses, and that's all he wants to know of anything.
When I read that about, you know, Mourinho...
Has he been zooming you a lot during lockdown?
He has
been zooming you a lot during lockdown, actually.
When I read that Mourinho was one of many insiders at other clubs, I immediately thought of Jack Nicholson's character in The Departed.
Yes.
And Max Mourinho kind of... You know what I mean?
What, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
That's it. He'd get a mole to watch his mole.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true.
Oh, yeah, where the guy goes to Sullivan, you didn't think it was just you.
Yeah.
In the lift. Oh,
spoilers, for crying out.
No, you're always big on spoilers.
Everyone's got ITV4. What's wrong with you? Come on. I mean, it is a terrific film. But when we talk about Mourinho's eyes and ears everywhere, I don't think we should get too carried away. I mean, of course, that Warnock quote about the state of the Stoke dressing room, it does come from a brilliant article, actually, from Michael Walker in The Athletic, where they follow Middlesbrough around in their extraordinary programme where they end up playing, 11 games in a month or something absolutely ridiculous. I'm not sure in the exact figure. So really, really worth reading. And, you know, when you think of Jurgen Klopp and Thomas Tuchel and their complaints about the schedule, it's worth... All those points are valid, but it is worth considering what it's like for teams in the Championship and League One and League Two. And I think this gives a really good insight towards that. And also, it does make me think that Jose Mourinho's eyes and ears are just reading long articles on the Atlantic.
Yeah, he's got a subscription, is what you're saying, yeah.
I bet he used one of the offers as well, didn't he?
Paying £1 a month.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone else's login.
Yeah, I know what you're I know what you're saying about, you know, the kind of Championship, League One, League Two clubs, all that kind of stuff. But Andy, I mean, it was a pigsty and the pigs would have run away if they'd been there. That is quite damning.
Yes, it is.
It is indeed, ladies and gentlemen.
But that's port cap in life for you. It's difficult at the moment.
There was but it's not just restricted to clubs below the Premier League. There was an issue that Ralph Hasenhüttl had at Stamford Bridge because they can't use the normal away dressing room. Mm-hmm. They were placed in the hotel, you know, Chelsea.
The Millennium Copthorne.
Yes. So there are loads of different hotels around Chelsea. Mm-hmm. So they basically, they leave, if you're watching it on TV, they leave by the bottom right corner of the pitch, the away teams. And Hasenhüttl said by the time they got to their dressing room at half time, they had 5 minutes and then they had to go straight back because it was too long. But then, you know, Southampton came back and drew the game 3-3. So, I wonder if that walking time alone is all players need.
I like the idea of them thinking, like, Hasenhüttl starts leading them back and thinking it's too far, and they just stop round a burger van or get a cup of tea. Yeah. And they, you know, maybe Nathan Redman goes, "Oh, well, I reckon I have a hot dog." I mean, I am quite hungry.
You know, Mourinho also said about all this, "I'm not going to be the bad guy that is going to make comments about Stoke's away dressing room." Again, just like Jack Nicholson and The Departed, get someone else to do it. Just get someone else to do it. I haven't said anything about that. You'll never get me. So, yes, there we are. So we're looking forward to that. So we're also looking forward to Everton versus Manchester United this evening.
Yes, we are. And if you enjoyed today's show and all of the many shows we've brought to you this year, then the finest Christmas present that we could ask for from you is a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods. Write whatever you like, but a little 5-star rating would mean the world to us and it would help other listeners find the show. Thank you so much, as always. Dear Ramblers,
thank you very much. Right, on tomorrow's show, it's Marcus, Andy and Vish again. Lovely old job, everybody. Right, we will see you tomorrow for more football ramblings. Until then, thank you very much, Andy Brassel.
See you very shortly.
Thank you very much, Vatushin Handaraja.
See you in a bit.
Thank you, everybody. See you tomorrow.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter.
Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.